Commencement is really a great time of year in the life of any university, and the University of Alaska Fairbanks is no exception to this. It is a time of great joy. It is a time for a little sadness. It is a time of gratitude, and it is a time for some momentary reflection. The joy, of course, comes from celebrating you, our 1990 graduates, and taking note of your fine accomplishments and outstanding honors. The note of sadness creeps in as we symbolically mark the closing of another academic year and realize that it is time to bid goodbye to you and realize that you too will be bidding goodbye to many of your friends and colleagues. Hopefully, many of these relationships will be sustained and renewed throughout your lives. Gratitude is due to many, and you know better than I the support that you have received from spouses, parents, children, friends, faculty, and other loved ones who have assisted you and without whose help you would not be here this afternoon. Commencement is also a time for reflection as we pause momentarily between end and beginning. Between beginning and end. It is perhaps one of the few times that you will have the opportunity to do so, for unfortunately, as your lives charge forward, each year will seem even shorter than the last. Reflection is our search for meaning and interconnection. Let me share a reflection or two with you. I had occasion a month or so ago to shed a tear, quite a few actually, as I learned of the death of an 18-year-old man whom I had never met. My emotions were triggered not so much by his death, for this was expected, and many appropriate testimonials to his life and courage were covered in the national media. But rather, my tears were caused by the recollection of events 5 years earlier, which his death recalled. I am, of course, talking about Ryan White, an Indiana teenager who came to fame and notoriety first in 1985 and again a month ago when he died of complications of the AIDS virus. But I am also talking about the contrast between people in two American communities, Kokomo and Cicero, Indiana. Ryan was a hemophiliac who contracted the HIV virus through blood transfusions and subsequently had to struggle to gain his basic rights, those same rights that have come so easily to virtually all of us in this room this afternoon. He was catapulted to national attention in 1985, when as a 14-year-old adolescent, he began a difficult but successful fight to attend the public schools in Kokomo, Indiana, which had banned him from attendance amid a clamor of fear from parents and students alike. For months, he had been forced to obtain his seventh grade lessons through a telephone hookup at his home. Ultimately, he prevailed in court, but this did not stop the discrimination and abuse heaped upon him. He was taunted at school by other children who wrote obscenities on his locker and shouted insults at him in the hall. Vandals broke the windows in his family home and slashed the tires of the family car. When his mother went to the grocery store, cashiers would throw down her change to avoid touching her hands. Despite Ryan's quiet persistence, in 1987, the family finally had enough, and they moved to Cicero, a community 20 miles away. The people in Cicero, too, were initially frightened, but Ryan, in his own quiet, courageous way, helped them to understand that he was no threat to them and that he just wanted to be a regular kid. Many parents in Cicero talked with their children about this terrible disease, explaining how it was transmitted and why Ryan did not endanger them. The school board itself sponsored several conferences and discussions about the disease. As a result, knowledge was gained, and acceptance, compassion, and tolerance prevailed. In a larger sense, I am not just talking about Ryan White and two communities in Indiana. I'm talking about you and me. But the citizens of Kokomo and Cicero are very much ordinary people like us. In this same sense, I'm talking even more about the fear and intolerance that ignorance breeds and begets. Why the difference in the reaction in these two communities? I submit to you that the difference was knowledge, knowledge and education. I submit to you that intolerance exists in our society because of fear, because of ignorance, and too often because people will not allow themselves to be educated about specific issues and concerns. I submit to you that ignorance leads to fear, and that fear leads to bigotry, whether that is in the subtlest forms of discrimination, or whether that is in the angry, hateful shouts and raised fists of angry mobs in their clandestine scrawls written upon the walls. This ignorance, fear, and intolerance, unfortunately, is not confined to far distant places from our lives. Cicero and Kokomo could have been any two communities in Alaska. As long as ignorance remains, unfortunately, intolerance will lie latent in our society and can break out at any place, at any time, over any issue. It is not just a function of the past. Intolerance lurks with undue regularity in the present as well. For instance, despite the years that have passed since Ryan White's encounter in Kokomo, we learned just last year of another young man, Jeremy Brooks, also a victim of the AIDS virus, who at age 10, in a repeat situation, was forced to move from Federal Way to Redmond, Washington. We see it in Wisconsin, where the Chippewa Indians attempt to exercise their special fishing rights granted them under a treaty from long ago, and yet have to face those same angry faces and shouts as they attempt to exercise these rights. We see it in Kansas City, Missouri, where on a public access TV channel, the Klan pursues its messages of hate, testing our First Amendment to its fullest. We see it potentially in the subsistence issue in Alaska, where I believe that the dialogue that I see and hear begins to show some of those early signs of intolerance. While I cannot predict for you where, when, or over what issue ignorance and intolerance will raise its ugly head, I believe I can predict for you that at some time, at some place, and over some issue, it will. What will be your response? Will you allow the loud, angry voices to have their sway without the benefit of insight, reason, and education? I hope not. Will you allow yourself to be swept up in the mob mentality that frequently evolves from such situations? I think not. Will you withdraw to avoid the unpleasantness, to escape some notion of guilt by association, or to just not be involved? Here I have some concern, for it is too easy to believe that it is not your issue, that it belongs to someone else. As long as we view it as someone else's responsibility or someone else's cause, we at least indirectly encourage further intolerance in our society, and we condone the ignorance that begets it. While intolerance may derive from fear and ignorance, it is fueled by silence and inaction. Like the mushrooms in the forest, intolerance thrives in darkness and quietude. Unfortunately, fear, ignorance, and misunderstanding abound in our society in far greater quantities than we would like. And it is only through continually self-educating yourselves and others that we can hope to contain their consequences and gradually, ever so gradually, eradicate these from our communities. With your degrees in hand today, you now become a minority group in our society. For fully 3/4 of the United States has not had the same opportunity for the breadth and depth of education that you have. Hopefully this bodes well for society, but whether you like it or not, whether or not you want to accept it, it also places upon each of you a higher level of expectation. You have already demonstrated your ability to acquire information and knowledge. You have demonstrated your ability to use it fruitfully and productively. These are not skills we expect you to leave at the door of this institution. Rather, as new problems emerge in our society, as issues come to the surface, you must use this ability to continue to educate yourselves and to seek out the substance of these issues. You have an ability far better than most to sort fact from fiction, to exercise reasoned judgment. The call for you to do so will beckon from many quarters of your lives. But I assure you that as a function of your education, you now have a better ability than most to respond to these calls and challenges. Whether you do so or not remains a matter of individual choice, a matter of value, a function of your will. How and when you choose to exercise these is certainly up to yourself, but never, never for one moment believe that you don't have the ability. A short time ago, you heard President Evans confer upon you your diploma with these words: "With all the rights, privileges, honors, and responsibilities pertaining thereto." 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, if you remember nothing else from this afternoon, I want those words to ring forever in your mind. With all the rights, privileges, honors, and responsibilities pertaining thereto. The rights and privileges will come easily enough. They should provide you access to sound employment, continuing affiliation with your university, opportunities for leadership, and a bit of the good life that you all seek and deserve. The honors, of course, are those which you have gained rightfully and will continue to earn during the rest of your lives. They are the recognition of your unique talents and abilities. The responsibilities, however, will permeate all aspects of your lives. And these responsibilities require that you be free from ignorance, that you overcome the fear of the unknown, and that you offer reason, compassion, and understanding instead of intolerance. They require that you share these same values with your children as you raise them. They require that you share these same values throughout your chosen work. They require that you do not shrink from difficult situations, and they require that you continue to educate yourself throughout your lives and that you share this information with others and not retain it in some closed closet of your mind. The name of Ryan White and his death, while tragic in itself, will not long be remembered by our society. But I do want you to fix in your mind the image of a 14-year-old boy who knew he was going to die, and with his own quiet dignity, suffered unnecessarily the taunts, the hatreds, and the viciousness of children and adults alike. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Go ahead, just close them. Fix in your mind that scene in Kokomo, Indiana, when with a court order in hand he arrived at school to face a mob of parents, community members, and other individuals who normally were upstanding citizens of society, yelling and screaming at him. Fix in your minds how day after day for 2 years he entered that school and quietly faced that same lack of compassion, that same anger arising from fear and ignorance. Now put yourself in that city, at that school, at that time, in that crowd, and I want you to hear your voice ringing out, "Stop! Wait! This is wrong! Why is our world so cruel?" I want you to believe in your minds and hearts that such scenes are avoidable, that we can overcome intolerance by controlling our fear, and that we can overcome our fear through knowledge, that we can overcome our lack of knowledge by continuously throughout our lives seeking out truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to have served as your chancellor, and I thank you for a job well done. Your university is very proud of you. I extend my warmest congratulations to you all, and I wish you long life, much happiness, and Godspeed to you all. Thank you.